Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, just before the news, we were talking with Dr. Leonard Weiner about hospital-acquired infections. In a moment, we're going to talk about the community-acquired numbers, but I want to reiterate something because we went to the news and I don't think we covered it as much as I would have liked to. Prevention. What can people do to keep from getting these infections in the hospital?
The most important thing, of course, is hand washing, or as I referred to earlier, hand hygiene. Mm-hmm. So you can use soap and water, but you can also use alcohol gels, which are more portable.
The sanitizers.
Hand sanitizers, small bottle in your pocketbook or in your pocket
right.
is something you can always have with you. That is clearly the single most important thing we can do.
Right, and it's not just the person who's in the hospital. It's the people who visit them.
Right.
It's their caregivers that sit with them. And, you know, I also, and I don't know whether you would think this was a great idea or not, I suggest to people that they take some of those Clorox antibacterial wipes or a can of Lysol with them, anything, because they get cleaned before the patient gets there. But while the patient's there, you've got all kinds of people coming in to see them, touching things.
Well, environmental surfaces certainly harbor organisms, and those suggestions would help. We know that we can clean environmental surfaces a lot better than we can, you know, remove bacteria from both patients and their visitors and staff.
And the professionals. And right. Let's talk about the professionals for a moment, because they're in a hurry. I don't think they always take the time to wash their hands, even if they know they should. What can a patient do if somebody comes in to give them treatment and they see them with bare hands?
We remind our patients that they can help with this problem by reminding the caregivers to either use alcohol gel or wash their hands before that particular caregiver approaches the patient.
And so the caregiver says, I already washed my hands.
I think it's appropriate to say, but you're now coming newly into my room,
right?
And you need to please do that again.
Right. And if they say, I did it before I came into the room, it doesn't hurt to stick with it and say, I'd like you to do it again, or to get the sanitizer, does it?
Well, again,
let's empower people to do those
right.
kinds of things.
I think that's the message that we want to leave people within the hospital. And sometimes the patient's not able to do that, but family
right.
or friends who are visiting should be another set of eyes to make sure that people, in fact, pay attention.
And you don't have to be confrontational about it. You can just say, would you mind washing your hands, or would you mind using the sanitizer? And right. just be polite about it. I think most of the professionals would get it, wouldn't they?
Oh, I think most people are glad to be reminded in case they didn't.
Right.
And as you've already stated, there's no harm in doing it an extra time.
Absolutely not, because what we're talking about here is somebody's health and perhaps somebody's life. All right, I want to make a segue here. We've talked about the hospital-acquired infection, but actually, you actually see people who are coming to you from the community with the infection more often, aren't you?
We see.
How's that happening?
Yeah, we see both, but right now, in terms of actual numbers, we're seeing many more people from the community with so-called MRSA infections.
Scary thought.
And this has to do with the increasing proportion of resistant staph, so-called MRSA, out there, which colonizes individuals,
mm-hmm.
doesn't always cause disease in most individuals.
But they have it on their skin or their nose.
Skin, and then there's the possibility of that getting a foothold, let's say, when somebody gets a cut or shaves or in the school setting, in contact sports, all of those kinds of activities which tend to break down local skin defenses what leads to the fact that the MRSA that's already there or might be close by on somebody else
right.
ends up potentially causing infection.
So we have, in effect, and let's stick with kids for this part of the conversation, although I think it could happen with adults too. You've got young people who are maybe in gym class or after school sports or whatever it would be. They're bumping into each other, they're knocking each other, they're getting cuts on their knees, whatever it might be. They have staph on their skin naturally, and now it takes hold and colonizes and creates an infection.
Again, here here's the intermediary. The hands are the intermediary. Mm-hmm. And in almost all cases, by paying close attention to hand hygiene, we cannot eliminate all of this, but we certainly can reduce it.
So now, a young person or maybe their parent sees that they've had a rash. Perhaps, is it a rash? It occurs at a rash?
Well, it might, but it might be on normal skin.
Okay. All right, but they see that there's a problem,
right,
and it's recurrent. They're going to their family doctors, and what's happening there?
Well, I think most of the staph infections we see may start as a small rash or spot on the skin, but they quickly develop into so-called boils and abscesses.
Oh, okay.
And it's those kinds of infections which need treatment.
What do they look like? You said boils?
Yeah,
they look like big boils,
yeah,
or just little tiny?
They often look like big boils.
Wow.
Now, they can even be more severe. So-called a more extensive infection is called a cellulitis.
Okay.
But
and does it appear in one certain part of the body or another?
Can appear anywhere on the body.
It can. All
anywhere
right.
on the body.
All right. So now they go off to the family doctor.
Right. And often get treated, and everyone sometimes requires surgical drainage plus treatment, so-called IND, incision and drainage. That mm-hmm. gets the bacteria, the pus out of the wound, out of the infection, and some antibiotics, and things settle down and go away, and everyone thinks that's the end of it, but lo and behold,
it comes back.
It comes back. Mm-hmm. And it's that recurring pattern that has families and healthcare providers really, really frustrated and feeling that they're not getting ahead of the game.
Would you say that in particular the professionals are at least understanding it more quickly and perhaps getting their patient help any more quickly, or do you think there are an awful lot of them that are still not understanding what this is?
Oh, no, I think this excellent awareness of the nature of the problem from the viewpoint of the healthcare provider. I think patients and their families have a very difficult time understanding why, if we cure the infection the first time, it pops up again in a nearby space or some other spot on the body 4 weeks later, 6 weeks later. Why is that happening? And again, the reason is that we've cured the infection, but we haven't been able to eradicate the colonization of the skin,
I see.
A subsequent break leads to these bacteria which cause the problem.
And when do you see them? When do they end up in your clinic?
Well, they end up in our clinic when they reach that recurrent stage, and then we have a program which not only aggressively treats the actual infection if it's present when we see them, but looks at trying to so-called decolonize the patient. That colonization, as I mentioned, means bacteria on the surface or in the nose without infection. We try to remove those staph bacteria. It's not a perfect process by any means, and the colonization can work temporarily. Mm-hmm. Involves things like keeping your nails short. It involves the mainstay of hand hygiene, as we've talked about already, using hot water and Clorox for laundry, being sure to Clorox the tub, maybe putting some extra Clorox in the water when someone takes a bath. There's some ointment that can be used inside the nose. All of this can be done for a period of time. It has the ability to reduce the problem, but it's not 100% guarantee.
Well, what happens now? So you get rid of the infection, but it could be that the MRSA or whatever, the staph infection, it's still colonized in the patient, but there's no outward sign of it. Does it just always stay there?
For the most part, the staph bacteria is normally part of our skin bacterial content, flora,
so
if you will.
It's going to stay there.
It's going to stay.
But at least you don't have to deal with it as an infectious part of your body.
Over time, usually the risk of infection goes down, and the proportion of the resistant, the MRSA, goes down as well.
People prevent it in the same ways they do in the hospital? Hand washing, you said? Are there other things they can do? I know the gym that I used to belong to, we wiped down surfaces on the machines and so forth.
I think, you know, this is clearly a matter of trying to reduce the number of bacteria on all surfaces that people come in contact with, including their own skin and the skin of others.
So if they take, like, again, those antibacterial wipes or use the hand sanitizers, those kinds of things, those are good habits to get into.
Hand sanitizer is probably the single most important thing we can do, particularly in the circumstance where you don't have access to soap and water, so you'll tend not to do something unless you have a little bottle of hand sanitizer.
Right, so if you carry that around, and you can get little pocketbook pocket sizes of those kinds of things. They even make them in little pens now.
Yep, they do.
Yep, so these are things that people can do and prevent this MRSA and staph infections and other kinds of infections. Well, Dr. Leonard Weiner, you have been a wealth of information this morning. It clarifies a lot of things for me, and this is a world, something I talk about frequently, so I know you've helped people that are out there in the community listening this morning. Thank you so much for coming by this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY UpState's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.